Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in North America among church planters, partnering churches, and field partners. We invite you to listen to some of North America's best practitioners in the field of church planting. Now get ready, because the conversation is about to begin.
Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast, hosted by the North American Mission Board. Well, it's a fun day when you get to have friends come back in and see you again. Today we are privileged to have Mark DeMoss, who is the pastor of Mosaic Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Most of you know Mark, though, not because he pastors Mosaic Church, but because he's the author of Multi-Ethnic Church Planting and Ethnic Blends. And so, Mark, welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast today.
Yeah, Tom, great to be back with you again here at Exponential.
Well, it is a fun time in Orlando, and also in Orlando today we have a dear friend of mine, who is our national director for church planting resources in all the Hispanic area, leads our Hispanic website, and does a lot of more than we can ever say. But Bobby Sena, welcome to our podcast today.
It's always an honor, Tom.
Well, as we talk with Mark today, Bobby, I want to talk to him a little bit about Ethnic Blends. Brand new book came out. If you haven't got it, Bobby, it's over in the store. You can buy it afterwards. But anyway, it's a great book. And share with us, if you would, a little bit about, first, why God challenged you to write it. You did a great job on multi-ethnic church planting, as we've already talked about. Mm-hmm. Had you in the conference with us, and what a great few days we had there. But talk about the difference, and there are differences, between that book and Ethnic Blends. Share a little bit about it, if you would.
Yeah, you bet, Tom. Well, the first book, Building a Healthy Multi-Ethnic Church, of course, dealt with the theology and the core commitments of a multi-ethnic church. I'm so locked into the theology. This isn't about racial reconciliation. It's not because the neighborhood is changing. It's not because Derek Jeter is biracial and somehow represents the changing face of America. This is about the gospel. And it's about reconciling individual hearts to God through faith in Christ, and then reconciling a local church to the principles and practices of the New Testament church, which was multi-ethnic, Jew and Gentile, mm-hmm. walking, working, Amen. Worshiping God together as one in the local church, which was the message of God's love for all people. So I am so passionate, as you know, about the theology. Mm-hmm. The first book is really the foundational book for it, with the theology core commitments. Ethnic Blends was written more like you're actually moving into the house. You know, mm-hmm. you're setting up the furniture. This is the day-to-day challenges, the obstacles that you face, and how they can be overcome in actually building that healthy multi-ethnic church. Co-authored with my partner of 8 years, Harry Lee,
yep.
PhD Chinese guy, mm-hmm. Who was teaching electrical engineering before he joined me. Never had any experience in ministry, but what a great partner. And he has some great insights on developing cross-cultural relationships and cross-cultural competency. So Ethnic Blends really takes the reader and the leader and their teams, by the way, into day-to-day multi-ethnic ministry, the challenges, the obstacles, how you can overcome them to build a healthy multi-ethnic church, with really great discussion questions at the end. It's made for teams. And by the way, I just mentioned I got the voices of 14 other leaders, multi-ethnic church leaders, like Ephraim Smith, mm-hmm. David Anderson, others who weighed in on Sidebar. So we felt like the book was also a movement-minded
book. Yeah.
Michael Emerson
yeah.
did the foreword, as well as Erwin McManus, mm-hmm. who he and I have connected in the last year, and we're partnering on Mosaic's Global Network and some other things multi-ethnic. So, it's a great follow-up to the first book, kind of a 1-2 punch, the 30,000-foot view and then right in the trenches at mm-hmm. sea level.
Well, Bobby, as we think about, you know, first multi-ethnic church planting and about ethnic blends, one of the challenges you have as the director for Southern Baptist Convention in the church planting group is all the work it needs to be done. The task is huge. What would you say are some of the most critical factors that you need to, you know, realize in the days ahead in this area of multi-ethnic church planting?
First of all, in developing the resources that we're trying to develop, is helping the non, for example, the guy that doesn't understand multi-ethnic in the Southern Baptist Convention, to have a better understanding, for example, of the Hispanic community. The Hispanic community is very diverse. You've got the bicultural, you've got the bilingual, you have those that are very English-speaking, that maintain their culture, you have those that fit the whole spectrum. And we've been trying to find ways to develop information to educate those non-Hispanics to understand more about them. I was just thinking about the resources in terms of your audience, the churches that you are developing. You train the leadership, the pastoral leadership, to do cross-cultural kinds of thinking. But what do you do? What do you do in terms of helping the people that are coming into the church? while they are maybe all English-speaking, there are differences in culture. And when you arrange the furniture, everybody has different likes and dislikes. So how do you help them to adjust and to understand each other?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, we deal with that in the book in a chapter on the pursuit of cross-cultural competence and really on philosophy in the new book about what we call graduated inclusion. I'll tell you that in a moment. But the backing up from there is really it begins whether you're white, black, Chinese, first generation, third generation. It always begins by helping people understand this is not about what you like and what you don't like. You know, I thought it was about aligning the church to fit Christ's vision for the church, not getting the church to fit our vision for the church. And so no matter the hue of your skin, your cultural heritage, first, second, we have to begin by teaching people this is not about what you like and what you want. It's about us adjusting to Christ's vision for the church. Now, with that as a backdrop, and in my first book, actually, I deal with that and some good examples to help people. Going on from there, we learned a hard lesson over the first 5 years of our church plant. You know, we were so excited about planting a multi-ethnic church. We refused to have any, like, first-generation language Bible studies, the deaf community. We just did not, because we were afraid of
the slippery slope. You're going to be pure, weren't you, brother?
Yeah, we're afraid of the slippery slope. You know, we're gonna be, if we start that way, we're going to all end up with a segregated congregation. And so it was kind of an all or nothing, no holes barred deal. And I was actually here a couple of years ago at Exponential talking to the pastor here at First Baptist, David Ute, who comes from Arkansas, really a multi-ethnic background, and that's another story. But he really, in a discussion with him, I came to realize it's not an either or, it's a both and. And to make a long story short, in the new book, Ethnic Blends, in the chapter on philosophy, we deal with philosophical challenges. We created a model called graduated inclusion. And what that means is that the homogeneous unit principle, and I write about this in the new book, is really an evangelistic principle that's been misapplied to church growth and development, in my opinion. In other words, if you're going to reach first-generation Hispanics or Koreans, of course you have to get the word in their language and speak to them in their cultural context and the music they want. But that's called evangelism. And the second that people get saved, there is no biblical freedom or license to plant a church just for a peculiar people group. The church is for everyone. And so I think over the 60 years, that got confused. So why I'm saying that is if you think about a bullseye with concentric circles, on the far fringe are the lost, of course, and let's just say first-generation Hispanics. Well, we apply homogeneous unit principle evangelism to things we do with Hispanics now. So we have a third service that is evangelistic in nature. The music changes. The preaching's all in all in Spanish. We do allow for Bible studies. We even allow, for once people get saved, there's obviously basic discipleship. It takes time. And it's not just about the theology of it. We learned, as Bobby, you know well, that people are different no matter what their culture. So some Hispanics, first generation, come into the country. They didn't wear headsets. I mean, they want full immersion. They're going to learn the hard way, but by golly, they're getting in there and do it. Other people, it's a slow burn, and they want to take their time. So that's not even a theological or evangelistic question. That's just people's personalities. And so we learn that. And so now on those fringe circles, from going from the lost to seeing them saved to some basic discipleship, we implement, if you will, the homogeneous unit principle in an evangelistic context and in order to allow people time to get comfortable with this whole thing called the multi-ethnic church. But then what we don't do is stop there. And so then at the next levels, whether you go to volunteerism in the church or to paid staff or right onto the elder board, we have Hispanics all along that continuum. So the people coming in on evangelism or discipleship, they see, hey, it's not all about me, and it doesn't just stop here. You can go right into the center of the church as a Hispanic here, or you can stay out on the fringes recycling and reaching, you know, staying out with the first generation, reaching out, evangelizing. So that's a model called graduated inclusion. We learned it the hard way. It was all or nothing, and then we swung to this middle ground where we've got the homogeneous unit principle working for us on the fringe, bringing people in, getting comfortable, but by golly, they can go right to the center of leadership in our church.
And that is an incredible thought as we think through just all this with the ethnic blends. Now, right before we started and we went live, you literally had to write down on the back of a piece of paper some of your points so you wouldn't forget them, which I just absolutely love as a writer, by the way.
Yeah.
Share with us some of the, you know, you said there were probably seven things in the book that you wanted to share. Share some of those things, if you would, with us.
Sure. Yeah. It's funny because the book just came out this month, and once it goes to the publisher, I set
you're
it aside
out of it.
And I don't think about it for 4 months because I want to read it fresh when it comes out. So I don't have my talking points down. But yeah, in the new book, we dealt with seven common challenges or seven obstacles that must be overcome in planning a multi-ethnic church. And just listing them, there are obviously personal challenges. There are philosophical, as I mentioned, or practical challenges, theological, spiritual, relational challenges, and cross-cultural challenges. So those are the seven big picture, big tickets we deal with. But just a couple, for instance, practical challenges. You know, everybody always wants to talk about worship.
Yep.
You know, and that gets back to the attitude thing. It's not about you and what you like. But we talk about how we do worship in our church. Now, we're not saying this is for everyone, but we found basically there's three kind of models that are just a baseline for people trying to do this. One is what we're doing here at the conference, our worship team. You know, we mix it all in together. So you get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, all in one set. But we found that takes a lot of time. You have to have good musicians. And so we typically only do that on big, like Easter, Christmas, when we have a lot of time, lots of folks
the big event.
Committed to it. Right. Mm-hmm. Another way you can do it is like you can do a, you know, 1 week it's Spanish music. 1 week it's gospel music. 1 week it's passion music. Louis Giglio's here, you know, and that. But the way we landed on was what we just simply call in the book a major minor. So what that means is let's say you have five songs in the worship set on a Sunday. You know, four of them might be in one genre. And so we might do all gospel, let's say, or that feel. And then maybe you have a solo before the message or during communion. And so we'll throw up something totally different just to let people know, hey, we're – and then we'll switch it up the next week. And so we kind of call that a major minor. And, of course, it's not just music, but, you know, it's who's doing the announcements, who's serving communion. There's so many other aspects to worship where you can model in your leadership – the practical challenges. So worship is in the practical section. Real quick, another one, though, and my wife Linda's here with me in the room, but, you know, we went through a really difficult time both personally and spiritually over the last 15 months, and we're just really coming out of it, even to the point where we can talk some about that, but we really felt it a spiritual attack. And, you know, in Ephesians, the entire book, as I talk in my wrote about my first book, this is Paul's prescription for the church. Mm-hmm. It's a multi-ethnic Jew and Gentile in one church for the sake of the gospel. This is the Mount Everest of his writing on the subject. But, you know, it's very interesting. Paul talks about putting on the spiritual armor in chapter 6 of this entire book.
At the very end.
At the very end, who says, we are to be one for the sake of the gospel in the church. We're one with God. We're one with Jew and Gentile. We're one with our wives and our husbands and our employers and our employees and on and on. And then he says, but now to walk worthy of that calling, to be one in the church for the sake of the God, you, and by the way, the word you is plural. It you, multi-ethnic church, you better put
we
on the armor of God.
We say use in Georgia, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, use. So it's use, I guess. But yeah, and so here he talks about, well, Linda and I really, we faced it all along at different points, but we went through a really where it was very, very difficult in both the spiritual and the personal side, and it went to a real low. I mean, it shook our marriage to the core. Our family, our kids, some of that thing. In fact, in Exponential, here in the magazine, I have an article about where do we as pastors go to struggle with sin or insecurities from the past or secret pain, private pain, grief. For me, it was a grief issue from my past. I grew up without a father, but it hit us like a ton of bricks. And it wasn't just personal. There was a spiritual element to it that because it's going to take me out. In my family, and boy, when you're trying to be a church for all people, you are going to get hit up right at the core of your marriage, all these things, to divide, because that's Satan's big deal.
And so, he wants to see that happen. Yep.
That's true. And just finishing the thought, you know, in all the challenges or obstacles that we face, and we write about in Ethnic Blends, I write in there a couple times, that these are the common challenges of all church planners and people doing this. But there's an exponential, there's a greater degree of difficulty. You know that when they platform dive, they do certain dives, everybody's got to do it, but there's certain dives that are a much higher degree of difficulty. And that's what I'd say about a multi-ethnic church or church plant. Similar problems, we all get hit up with personal challenges, spiritual, but the degree of difficulty and the consequence of failure is so much greater in a multi-ethnic church. So we write about that in the book, and again, some of the other things. But for sake of time, encourage people to get the book.
Amen, brother. We'll do that another day, some of that and stuff. Well, I remember, Mark, last year you coming in and spending 2 days with Bob's and our team as we dealt with, you know, some of this area. And I just remember just how transparent you were and open. And, I called you up because, you know, I knew you through Greg and through Cap, and you said yes. And you just fit in like a glove with us.
You
just
did.
Brothers in Christ hanging out together. Thank you for lending us your husband for 2 days last year. But anyway, but we had a great time. And we know, and Bobby and I both know this, that for those that are out here in our listening audience, both of these books, Multi-Ethnic Church Planning and Ethnic Blends, is a great read. But more than a great read, there's a lot of things that are great reads. Mm-hmm. But more than a great read, it'll change your life. I haven't read Ethnic Blends except for when I did the thing and read that quickly so I could say something, you know.
Right,
but
right.
Now I bought it and I want to now read it again. But I have read Multi-Ethnic Church mm-hmm. Planning, and every page just comes alive with, oh, I need to hear that. Oh, I need to hear. Oh, Lord, I wish you hadn't say that.
Yeah.
So anyway, and so I thank you for your transparency, mm-hmm. you know, in this. Now, as we get ready to wrap up our podcast today, Mark, what would be just, are there any other points that we didn't get to, or what would be one last thing that you would say for our church planting audience, keeping in mind that this goes not only out to Southern Baptist, this goes worldwide in our church planting mm-hmm. group podcast. What would be something that you would encourage them and challenge them today in this subject matter?
Yeah, I think just by way of encouragement, in 1998, a study was done at the American Church, Black and White Catholic Protestant, found that 92.5% of all churches were segregated, failing to have 20% diversity in their local churches. Mm-hmm. When Michael Emerson, a foremost sociologist on the subject, and others just redid the study in 2007, Protestant churches were 3 times more likely to have 20% diversity in 2007 than they were in 1998. And large evangelical churches of 1,000 or more were 5 times more likely to be diverse. And so this is great encouragement mm-hmm. as we're still in the pioneer stage of the movement, moving to early adapters. But it's like a train coming. You better get on the train because this train is coming.
For sure.
Now, having said that, the challenge is some people like myself are very intentional about it, and we speak to that intention. Mm-hmm. You need that in pioneers to
help chart
the way.
And God's given you that platform for that,
right,
too.
Right, but others are finding that it's just happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with Dave Travis from Leadership Network about this. And so let's call that spontaneous. So people are saying, well, I don't have to be intentional. It's just happening. I did a radio show out of Washington the other day, and a caller, he obviously seemed white. He called in. He said, I just think we ought to just preach the word and it'll happen. I said, I agree with that, but we don't preach this part of the word.
Yeah.
So if we preach the whole word, things like this would happen. Somebody else said, I think they seem to equate somehow by being intentional about this and talking about it that it was somehow not spiritual. And I said, but you don't do that for evangelism. Mm-mm. I mean, you wouldn't just sit in a room and just pray and say, I hope everybody gets saved. We're intentional about evangelism. This is a significant part of the word, and it is for the sake of the gospel that we are trying to bring all people together under one roof. So it's happening, but my challenge is don't be fooled, or not fooled is probably too overstated, but it's like don't buy into this attitude that somehow talking about this is not scriptural or it's human-made or, I mean, this is New Testament theology and ecclesiology for the church. It's for the sake of the gospel. It is very spiritual. It is the whole word. And we can't do it as we started at the top of this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's not about racial reconciliation. That's
no.
a wonderful byproduct. But if the kingdom of heaven is not segregated, then why on earth is the church? And if Christ said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. We got to answer that question. Thankfully, in the 21st century, people are stepping up.
Amen.
It's a growing movement, and I hope through my writing and others that are here and we're speaking about this nationally, we can encourage those coming after us, because even if your church is being spontaneous or becoming diverse spontaneous, you're going to hit your lips. Because even after 8 years, we had to deal this summer with unconscious racism on our staff. We got challenged by some of our African Americans, and we're like, what? Us? You gotta
really?
Be kidding
really,
me.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we one of the poster childs for this? And we got unconscious, but you know what? We did. And it took us 8 years to get to that level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to have diversity in your pews or even on your leadership team, but to get down to the nitty-gritty of cross-cultural relationships. Hey, you're going to hit your lips, and thankfully, I mean, some of us have gone before. We've done it. We're trying to write about that, encourage, because whether it's intentional or spontaneous, you're going to have to deal with the issues we're talking about in the books, Building a Healthy Multi-Ethnic Church and Ethnic Blends.
Well, it's great to have you as part of our podcast. Bobby, any closing thoughts or any remarks before we wrap up today?
I would say theologically, I started to say you hit a home run. But we don't want to say that anymore.
I just got done Louis telling us not to say
that. And I look forward to heaven being that way, an expression of the body of Christ. And I'm so thrilled that you are a writer, a thinker, a called man of God, a ministry that is doing that, expressing, fleshing out New Testament theology in a way in the 21st century. And yet I'm working with Hispanic churches because of the first generation that they're still seeking that that first language, first culture. But I pray the day that those churches will catch the vision.
Amen.
To include
Amen.
Others that would come to the church. And I will start wherever we can in order to arrive where you have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So pray for us. We'll pray for you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Bobby.
Well, Mark, just continue to be the voice, my friend. It's great to see you. You're always a blessing. Mm-hmm. I wish we had 2 days to hang out again,
yeah,
but
yeah.
we don't in this. We have 2 days, so just we don't get to hang out.
That's
but,
right.
But thanks for being part of our podcast today, my friend.
You bet. And thanks. I mean, all the Southern Baptists, North American Baptists, really appreciate. There is a movement. There are people in there. We talked about mm-hmm. pursuing this, and I'm championing your cause, too. So
Amen.
Thank you very much
back
for having
you,
me today.
Friend. Back at you. Well, friends, be sure to come back next week because you never know what God may have in store to teach you. And as always, visit thechurchplantingvillage.net for all your church planting resource needs. Planting the seed of God's love in North America and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. By subscribing to this podcast, you have already taken some great steps to being trained and equipped for God's work of church planting. Also, be sure to check out churchplantingvillage.net for more resources and information on church planting, partnering churches, and field partners, as well as the latest edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. Reaching America, Canada, and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.